Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Marty Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this, of course, is TS Radio. Tonight, we're doing a show on a follow-up for the vigil that was held last night for Anastasia Adams. As you know, we've been following this story closely. Joining us, Yolanda Bell and myself, is Luann Fleming from FaceUs.org and the Hidden Truth Radio is on with us. I'm already getting messages from people that they're getting a message that all circuits are busy. The chat room is non-functioning. We are having problems. Now, if you do decide to call in for this show, the call-in number is 917-388-4520. And as soon as Blog Talk answers, just as soon as it answers, hit the number 1. That will flag me that you have a question or comment for not only Yolanda, but maybe Luann. Or me, however we do this. But we're going to be doing an hour tonight. And Yolanda, at this point, I don't even know what to say. You got notice, didn't you, that they have already started with the withdrawing of hydration and nutrition?
My understanding, based upon Anastasia's appearance when I saw her on Friday, and speaking to individuals that have been to see her since Wednesday, that it leads us to believe that, yes, they have already stopped her nutrition and her hydration.
When you spoke in another interview we did about her being down to maybe 85 pounds, did it lead you to wonder if maybe they had already started at least limiting what she was getting?
All indications would point to that, yes.
Oh, my God. Okay, and I got a question here from someone emailing, and they wanted to know if you had power of attorney, which you did have, and was there a hearing that would have allowed them to discard that power of attorney and turn everything over to the guardian?
I did have power of attorney. I have been my sister's power of attorney since 2002, which predates her brain injury.
Okay.
There was a hearing held on February 15th of this year, where when guardianship was given over to Inova and their two designated guardians, Ken Lebowitz and Ann Heishman, that what the judge did is he suspended my power of attorney. He didn't terminate it. He suspended it.
Oh. Well,
but
I was
it
also
amounts to the same thing.
Yes. I was also sent information that says, and this is from the Virginia statutes, a guardian's duty and authority shall not extend to decisions addressed in a valid directive or durable power of attorney previously executed by the incapacitated person. They may seek court authorization, yes, to revoke, suspend, or otherwise modify. So basically, these documents mean nothing. They mean nothing. This is all at the will of the judge. Who's he working for? And what was the reason they gave Yolanda for suspending your power of attorney?
Well, that's precisely it. And if I'm not mistaken, you're quoting 64.2-2019.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Which is part of the Virginia Code. The reasoning being, he didn't. That's kind of a hit or miss. It seems they don't explain why basis is for whether he terminates it or he suspends it. But in my case, if you read through the transcripts, it was that this was to be a temporary guardianship. It was only to be a limited guardianship. It was to to affect the discharge of my sister from a Nova Fairfax hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
because Medicare had paid out for the length of time they would pay for what they said was her current condition. Medicare, of course, and we talked about this the other night, and many people emailed me behind that, Yolanda, and said, oh, no, that's not right. Medicare doesn't have those kind of limits. Well, then they found out Medicare does. They will only pay so many days for whatever your condition is. This is why the hospital is constantly trying to eject you from there, because if it's, let's say, 5 days and they can get you out of there in 2 days, they collect for 3 days that you were not there. So this is all profit money. And this was basically from is what I know about the case, Yolanda, and please don't hesitate to correct me if I'm wrong, but this was the catalyst for all of this, is they were up against that time limit and wanted her out of there so that they could...
pretty much my belief that it was... because, I mean, they made a point to tell me that Medicare was no longer covering it.
Right.
Because once they checked that box in, well, we're discharging her, Medicare is no longer covering this.
Right.
And so that's what I was led to believe. And, yes, those limits do exist. I actually have the spreadsheet that shows all of the conditions and the time frames that they give for each one. So I actually have that.
Yes.
But... it was to be a limited guardianship, so no one really knows, or no one's saying, put it this way, because someone knows why the Babowitz and Heishman still have her. If you listen to Anova, you would think that the two of them have just gone rogue and they've taken my sister. But that's not really the case, because Anova still has hands in this. They try to deny that, but there's evidence that shows that's contrary to the truth.
Right. Okay. Luann, you got any thoughts on this?
Oh boy, I'm just totally out of words. I mean, I've been following this, Yolanda and her sister Anastasia for quite a while, and it makes you kind of scary to even want to go to a hospital. And that's the problem that I'm having with, is what's going to happen if, you know, one of your other loved ones go there and they do the same thing to them. I mean, I'm out of words. And it's so appalling to me that she can't hug her sister. She can't be there in the time that she needs. She can't be there to say what she wants to say to her sister. She has no mental direction that she can give her sister. I mean, it's very cruel.
It comes under the classification of torture globally. I think one of the most shocking things in this, Yolanda, was when you said, when you went in to see your sister, you asked if you could kiss and hug her, and a guard, believe this or not, a guard is there. Do you intend to harm her?
Guardian.
No, he's the one that's harming her. Seeing what I have from this man, he's incompetent at the very least, and he should be declared incapacitated, because this man is not firing on all 8 cylinders. That's my opinion. I'm no expert by any means, but the standard, the bar for all of this has been set so low by these professional predators that, you know, stubbing your toe can land you in places you can't even imagine in your nightmares. I guess my thoughts here, this, and Luann, this kind of relates to what you said. You watch this happening, and I've been tracking Medicare, because, of course, we've got these kids believing that we're all getting Medicare for free. Free, I tell you. No, everybody's paying a premium, and they're paying co-pays, and there's a lot of crap they don't even pay for, so get that wild thought right out of your head. And... Mm-hmm. But they also, these kids, younger people, are being conditioned to think that this, and to me this is murder, whether you got doctor in front of your name or you don't, this is murder. This is no different than strapping somebody down to a table, paralyzing them, and then shooting them through full of stuff that shuts their organs. There's no difference. This is government-sanctioned murder. And I don't care who murders. Where is this big Christian nation we claim to be? Where are all you Christians at while this is taking place? One of the things I discovered, and when they talk about the shortage in Medicare and why they have to do things this way, is that hospitalizations for people over the age of 60 are now down to 63% of what they were 5 years ago. People are refusing to go to the hospital for fear they will never come home. And I think this case of Anastasia has pointed out to people just how this actually can happen, how the family can be removed, the people that loved her can be kept away from her. Have they made any indication to you, Yolanda, any, that they would allow her to come home and be with her family if they're going to do this
no.
to her?
No, they haven't. As a matter of fact, Guardian Labowitz has stated on at least two occasions that that wasn't going to happen, that she needed to be in a controlled environment.
Yeah, because if you got her home and you started taking care of her and she got better, that ain't going to look so good for him.
Well, that's true, and I don't deny that, and I don't argue that point. What this is, you're correct, it is torture, which is, we all know, is prohibited by the Geneva Convention, if I'm not mistaken, the Eighth Amendment. But this is also in ANOVA's, it's a punitive retaliation. I would not remove my sister from their hospital because she was too ill, a point which Medicare agreed with when they overturned the discharge, their discharge order. But because I
Medicare overturned the discharge order and said, no, you can't put her out. And this judge went ahead and gave this fool guardianship of her.
They had guardianship beforehand. Instead of what normally would happen, what you would think would happen in a situation like that, if there was still a pending appeal, one that was actually with an administrative law judge, one that was going to determine whether ANOVA still got paid or not, that they would have tabled this, that this would have been held until such time as that decision came back, because we were expecting that decision at any time, and it actually came in 2 weeks later.
Oh, my God.
So that you would have done that, because in almost any other instance that I can think of as far as a legal case, where if there is something like this, it's like when you appeal something. And what they're telling me, they won't do anything to touch this guardianship, to remove the guardians, put somebody else in. Oh, because it is at the Supreme Court, and it's on appeal, so we have to wait and see what they're going to say. So why did that not happen when you had an appeal coming from Medicare that was determining whether or not their discharge order was valid or correct?
Gee, many Christmas.
Gosh.
Holy crap, Ola.
And now, again, why are they, while there is still an appeal pending at the Virginia Supreme Court, why are they pushing forward and hell-bent on removing her hydration and her nutrition and killing her when there's the very real possibility, and I truly believe it will be, that their guardianship is going to be overturned?
Yep, I do too. I do
so
too.
So you have an appeal pending. Why are you doing all this? You should be doing everything that you can to keep her alive, knowing that this is going to be overturned.
Right. Well, and the other part of that is, too, if it comes back later, past the point of no return there, and it comes back later, these people are up for criminal charges. And somebody is misadvising them about their position and about what their rights are. If they intentionally cause her passing, knowing that this is in process in the court, they can't do this. They cannot do this. So you're looking at criminal charges, which takes you out of this administrative probate kangaroo court system and puts you straight into, in fact, this I believe would qualify as federal, but you would have to jump all the hoops in your state first. But I would file criminal charges, and I would file charges of outright murder. This, you can see the pictures, the photographs document this, this deterioration while mm-hmm. she is supposedly under what they're calling care.
Right,
now,
right.
If you were caring for her, allowed to continue to care for her, and you saw her condition deteriorating, you'd be doing everything you could to bring her back
correct.
Up. To you know.
Correct.
And instead, what mm-hmm. we see with them is walking away and pretending like it isn't happening, then saying, oh, she's in such bad shape. This, everybody, when that bimbo, what's her name, Palin, said that about death panels. This is exactly what she was talking about. And it's called futility of care. And they will drive a patient to the point where they have deteriorated so badly from neglect and malpractice that they say, oh, well, there isn't any sense in going any further. We're just going to pull the plug. She was, I have to admit, right about that. Mm-hmm. I hate to admit she was right about anything, but she was right about that. And, well, I do. You know she was a bimbo. And but anyway, this is what they were talking about. And like I say, elderly people and even disabled people have become so terrified of going to the hospital for fear they will never go home again that they are refusing to go to the hospital. And it has caused a 63% drop in the admission of elderly and disabled people into hospitals just exactly for the reasons we're discussing here tonight. Now then, Yolanda, I want to move on to the vigil last night.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the video. I posted it. It was quiet. It was respectful. There was no, there was nothing that would have intimidated, terrorized, frightened anyone. Everybody knows a candlelight vigil when they see it. We know what that represents. How did mm-hmm. the Guardian portray it?
He portrayed that, well, what he portrayed is that on Wednesday, he is alleging that on Wednesday I summoned numerous priests to go and, she specifically stated individuals identifying themselves as priests
mm-hmm.
to go and check on Anastasia and saying that I told them that she was going to die that night.
Oh.
And that it was very disruptive and it was chaotic for the staff and that I'm guessing, you know, and everybody else that was there at the facility, which is not
mm-hmm.
the case because I have since found out the exact number of priests that went on Wednesday, and that is two.
Mm-hmm.
Only one went after hours. And it wasn't disruptive. No one had to be called in to do it. They came and let them in. They asked them some questions. And it's not that they had to ask questions. I mean, they're in their clerical garb.
Right.
Right. But, you know, these are things that they chose to. But there was no chaos. There was no upset. But this I found is because I always knew that there was something that was being said about me and about the situation to
mm-hmm.
whether it be other legal practitioners within the area, because there is no lawyer in Northern Virginia that would touch this case. And
they're not going to go up against
DeNova.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's not just DeNova. It's not just ANOVA.
Yeah.
It's partly this particular of these law firms, Blankenship
right.
and also Labwoods, Dingman Labwoods. And
yep.
I always knew that something was being said, and I've actually received confirmation of that from a couple of individuals. So
wow.
And this is part of it. It's that and you've seen this throughout all of these, that they try to portray the family members in a negative light.
Yes. Yes, and that's imperative to what they're doing. And there again, because of the type of tribunal this is, they're not required to follow codes of evidence or the rules of civil procedure. The handbook for these pseudo-judges, these administrative appointees, states quite clearly that basically they can run wide open, they can do whatever they want to do. The statutes be damned. The law, of course, does not apply whatsoever on any level. And your constitutional rights and liberties are not a question. I've told people about asking for exemplified court dockets versus a certified. Certified, they can lie out the wazoo, and they do. On an exemplified, they must list absolutely every action that was taken in that courtroom that has anything to do with that case. Then the clerk of courts must stamp, sign, and date it in person, and the judge must stamp, sign, and date it in person and attest to its truth and accuracy under penalty of perjury. And they will stand and tell you all day long they don't know what you're talking about. They never heard of such a thing. Yes, they have. Every state has them. Laws requiring them to produce an exemplified court docket. When you were going through all of this, again, going back to this recording of you meeting with them when they were supposed to give you medical information about your sister, and then they tell you that they're not there to answer any of your questions. They simply want you to sign this discharge, which you are refusing to do, stating the reasons why. And this doctor is sitting there admitting that you have taken remarkably good care of her. Admitting that she, you know, at no time did you neglect or do anything wrong to her, that she wouldn't be in the good condition she was in were it not for you. And yet they went on and did this.
Correct. They went on and did it anyway. And it goes further. If you actually read the court transcript from the guardianship hearing, Inova admits that again a second time.
Wow.
They also, the judge says that I was, that my sister, that Anastasia was blessed to have me as a sister caring for her. The doctor in the phone call or in the meeting that we had, which is the same one in the phone call, if you, it's about probably about 6 minutes into the second video that I posted, states that she knows, that Inova knows that Anastasia wanted me to be the one taking care of her and making those decisions.
Right. And that didn't matter either, did it?
None of it.
No, it didn't, because they took her anyway.
Yep, they took her anyway. And like I say, you watch this deterioration that you have documented. The photographs tell the story. And I'm sure you'll be shortly, if you haven't gotten one already, be served notice to take down all those pictures, because they're going to accuse you of identity theft of your sister. This is the new weapon they use. They claim that you have stolen her identity. The person who stole her identity was that guardian, who now is presenting himself as her, speaking for her, making decisions for her, and she cannot speak for herself. Mm-hmm. She, even if she was able to verbalize, she would not be allowed to say anything on her own behalf, because once she was guardianized, she ceased to exist in the law. Now, in all of your research, Yolanda, and I know you've dug into this deep and hard, have you come across anything that would allow them, other than in Obamacare, but like in your state law, that would allow them to arbitrarily end someone's life because, hey, we can't get any more insurance money out of this?
Nothing that's worded specifically like that, no. They basically, once they've given them the guardianship, it's taken away all rights, and the guardian, according to what the Virginia Code 64-2, which lists all of that in there, and the court order itself gives them complete and total control over the physical person of Anastasia Adams. Now,
and this
getting
is,
to
go ahead,
go ahead. We're talking about the pictures. They actually mentioned the website in the second hearing that we had when they went back to get me barred from seeing her. They told the judge, and they printed out a copy of the face of the front page of the website and of the change.org petition, and told the judge that yes, she's posting, she has a website called The Abduction of Anastasia, and she's posting pictures of her sister's injury. Well, they didn't say injuries; they were kind of careful not to say injuries, but they said of just parts of her body. And the judge didn't say a thing about it.
Wow.
And I don't know if they were expecting him to address it or not. I don't know. But I know that the judge didn't say anything about it. He did ask about how how she broke her hip, and they told him, we don't know.
And like I told you, Yolanda, if you can get a hold of her medical records, and I've said this so many times I make myself sick, but HIPAA is not about protecting patient privacy. It is about protecting the doctors and the medical industry and the nursing homes for being charged with neglect, abuse, malpractice, medical mistakes, everything else. And I would bet you if you could get a hold of her file, there is nothing in it that would address this broken hip, admit to it, cite it, or the broken ankle, which is exactly why they never fixed it. Because if they had fixed it, somebody would have said, where's the report on this? And how did this happen? I couldn't figure out for some time how this woman's hip could be broken, obviously broken. The foot, the ankle, obviously be broken. And they're not fixing it? They're not resetting it? And this is why. And I would bet you dollars to donut there's not a word in it, in that medical report, anywhere that speaks to this. Because it would have required them to not only reset those joints, but to give an explanation of how this happened. And somebody's head would have rolled. Because obviously you didn't have access to her. They did.
Right. Right.
And so I think it would be imperative, and since he only temporarily suspended the durable power of attorney, I would go back, get it reactivated, and demand those medical reports in total.
Well, I've been back before this judge, and the judge, the guardians and ANOVA's corporate attorneys are quick to tell him, well, remember, this particular case has been appealed to the Supreme Court. In other words, so we don't want you to touch this until they come back with their decision. Well, it just because this case has been appealed does not mean because they lose a certain amount or a certain portion of jurisdiction. However, they still have the jurisdiction and authority to enforce the guardianship. They can remove the guardians. They can't overturn the guardianship. They can't do anything about that. But in affecting and working the guardianship, there are things that they can do. They can remove these individuals and have somebody else put them. And then if the Supreme Court comes back and they overturn it altogether, then the new guardians go away. But they do. It's the connections with all of this are just amazing in how many people are actually connected to this and the just the relationships between the different entities. Now, I won't say that there isn't a slight possibility that the Virginia Supreme Court might just leave things at the status quo, but I say that because the corporate counsel for ANOVA, their founding partner, their founding mentor, has ties to the Virginia Supreme Court. Particular law firms, Blankenship and Keith, they all have they're given an inordinate amount of deference, at least within Fairfax County and within Northern Virginia. Now, one can only hope and pray that the Virginia Supreme Court looks at this, they see this, and they realize that a grave injustice has been done and that, yes, this should have never happened. She should have never been put underneath the guardianship and that they overturned it.
Well, you would hope so.
Now,
Luann, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, you would hope so.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking they're just covering their own butts. That's what I think they're doing. I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense to me is that they messed up. You know, I was going to cuss, but I won't do that. That they really messed up. And if they, they're just covering themselves. You can just tell. I mean, you know, by the way, that they could easily take those guardians out and put another ones. That would make the other ones look guilty. And that always happens when you go up into a court or something. They never remove anybody because it's going to make that person look guilty. And that's why this is going on. That's what I do believe. Robin, what do you think?
Well, I think that's right. I think that what's going on here is we have a
CYA.
Medical... FBI, by the way.
CYA, cover your ass. Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, we have a medical system that has a lot of shortcomings and inadequacies, and oftentimes those shortcomings and inadequacies are human elements where someone is doing something they're not should not to do or not doing something they should ought to do, and because of the structure of the medical system, the court system, the way that our society has built these institutions, the individual that runs up against any of these is up against a corporate behemoth that will absolutely run them over, and has no compunction about killing people, about taking their lives, about destroying families, about destroying family ties, about taking property. Has no compunction about any of those things because they're protecting their power, protecting their turf, and they do not wish to be exposed, because it might mean the end of a big game, not just the game of that person, but the game of destroying lives and profiting thereby in general. And so this, you know, I think this is far more common than we know, but there are not as many Yolandas in the world as I wish there were. And a lot of people don't know what to do and don't know how to do anything about it other than to suffer the misery of being abused in this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and that's the thing in this, too. It doesn't just affect, in this case, Anastasia. This is downstream. This affects her whole family. I mean, imagine being in this situation. Here's this sister that you love and you've taken care of and you know, provided for, and she's taken from you, and you're told somehow you're the threat to her. You're the one that's kept her alive. And what happens to the family? The family starts falling apart. The stress is incredible. The idea that these total strangers are calling the shots on someone they have absolutely no vested interest in, other than how much money can I make here? Again, where are all these churches? Where are all these churches? This is going on all over the country. They're doing this all over the country. Where are all these, you know, sending your money? God needs your money. Where are you at? Why are you not standing up against this? This is medical murder, and murder is murder. I don't give a damn if the state says it's okay or your doctor said it's okay. It's murder. Plain and simple. This is no different than running into somebody on the street and shooting them. You took their life. You took their life. Yeah. And that's the way I see it. Yolanda, you have the envoy number here, which is 703-684-9100. And you said that's the Guardians?
No, envoy is the nursing facility that she's in.
Yeah, that's in, but the Guardian is there.
No, they don't. They're not physically there. No, they're attorneys, and they send. You know, they're at their office or at home or at court or whatever it is that they do.
Okay.
When they're not at court or in their office.
Okay.
So I don't know that they've been there to see her at all. I mean, they may have, but I know that they didn't at the other places. So.
Okay. I just got a note here that people are lined up in Louisiana, Maryland, and ANOVA employees to call on Monday and Tuesday. And please urge everyone to do this on Monday and Tuesday to both of these numbers. The law firm is 703-519-0999, and the nursing home number is 703-684-9100. Let them hear from you. Let them hear. They need to know. We know what they're doing. We know what they're doing to this woman. They are starving her to damn death. Don't you sit there and, Lord help me, don't let one of you come back and talk about, well, I put it in God's hands. No, the Lord helps those who help themselves. You can pick up the phone and dial a number and ask about this woman and express your concern. And if
Marty,
and
you
let them know.
Numbers again?
Yes, I can. Hold on here. The law firm is 703-519-0999. And the nursing home is 703-684-9100. And there are people lining up to make these calls Monday and Tuesday. Let's bombard them. They need to know we're out here, that we know what they're doing, how sick and twisted this is. And the person writing says, please urge everyone listening to call two times to both numbers. And that's coming out of Los Angeles. And we have reached out, and Yolanda, there's people all across the country that are following this story. And there are people in D.C. that are following this story. So you people can do at least this. I think one of the things that infuriates so many of us that do these shows and everything else, you'll hit like and share, but when we need you to stand up, oh, I can't, I got a headache. Oh, I don't want to get involved. If it was you, you'd want us all running in there behind you. This woman needs our support, needs our help. Pick up that damn phone and at least make that phone call. I want to talk a little bit more about the vigil last night. Did anyone come out of this facility to ask you what you were doing?
No. No one came out. I suspect that, for one, and I would hope that they would have stayed in there and cared for the patients, which is what they're there to do.
Yes.
On Friday, when I was visiting Anastasia, I was approached by one of the medical staff asking what time I would be there, how many people I was expecting. And I told her, why would you like a candle? And this individual told me that, well, yes, a couple of us were talking about possibly participating. Now, I didn't see these individuals show up, and as a matter of fact, I happen to know for a fact that the individual that came to me wasn't there because their car wasn't there.
Uh-huh.
But we were watched, though. I mean, when we came up there, they were aware of our presence. I mean, we weren't on their property. We were across the street. We weren't impeding traffic, all of the things that you're supposed to do in a peaceful candlelight vigil. And we would see people come and look and, look out the windows. And at one point we started moving because it was cold. So we started moving to try and generate a little bit of warmth. And we went around to the backside because we realized, we're standing here in front, but her room is on the other side. So we went to the other side so we could stand outside where her room was. And it was almost like, having people looking out from an aquarium.
Yes.
You see these faces come up to a window. And this was primarily when we were in the front. It was, staff. You'd see these faces up at the window to see if we were still there. Or to see if the crowd had enlarged or whatever the reasons were. But when we were standing on the back side, up outside on the side that had Anastasia's room, I did notice something that was really unusual.
What?
That all of a sudden you had, I guess, what were most likely CNAs come into the room, and then you had two more come in, and there was approximately four to six of them there. But they kept approaching her bed. They would go away, and so it was almost like they were intimidating her or trying to.
Oh, my God.
And, I sat and I thought, I'm like, why would they do this? And then they closed the blinds.
Oh, no.
So, but this is weekend staff. And historically, and it's not just this facility, because this is historically any facility that you will go to, you will normally find that the weekend staff is not as good as the weekday staff. I mean, this happens in hospitals as well. Holidays, you have holiday staff there, and it's just the regular staff has more of an incentive to put their best foot forward and they're there, and ostensibly they like their job. And so they're there, and it's just a better level of care when you have your regular staff there. And so this place, from my knowledge and what's been relayed and information that's been provided and evidence that's been provided to me, is that the weekend staff and the evening staff is really poor.
Oh, wow.
And well, I will put it this way. We were told that things happen at this facility in the evening shift and on the weekend shift that shouldn't happen anywhere.
Now, oh, my God.
They didn't, the individual did not elaborate, but they begged us, do not leave your sister here without visiting her.
Wow. I think this is the best argument I have heard for having these whole places under surveillance, room to room, in the hallways. This is not a violation of patient privacy because when you guardianized them, you said they no longer existed, so there can be no expected privacy of a person who mm-hmm. is dead in the law. So
right.
What is it? Who is it you're protecting? You can't use this guardianship itself, making a person a ward of the state, declares mm-hmm. them legally dead, the same in its legal consequences to a natural death. So whose privacy are you protecting? Because you said this person doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Do you understand what I'm saying? You can fight their own argument. But this, I think, is the best argument I have heard for having these
mm-hmm.
entire places under surveillance 24/7 to
well,
ensure the safety of
mm-hmm.
the inmates, and they are inmates. This is basically a dressed-up prison is all it is.
Right. Well, the Virginia, the General Assembly in Virginia in 2016 actually passed legislation that was going to require nursing homes in Virginia that they had to put into place some sort of a system and regulations for filming in nursing homes, for what the nursing homes actually having video surveillance, and for family members being able to video within the nursing
yes.
homes. And they were supposed to have that done and written by July 2017. Now, I haven't followed up on this since to see what's happened because of everything else that's been going on with my sister. But
right.
They were supposed to have plans and everything in place so that people could actually do this in Virginia nursing homes. But,
and I think it's
that Virginia knows there's a problem.
Yeah, every state knows there's a problem, Yolanda. Every state
mm-hmm.
knows there's a problem. But the money is tied to these. One of the things I found out, John Podesta, pedophile extraordinaire, heads up Oracle. And we were battling them back in 2010 when they passed that fake food safety bill, which was a forced import bill, is all it really amounted to. And we found the Oracle database for the people that they had arbitrarily signed up for premises ID was being held in Canada on Oracle databases there. And so when we tried to FOIA, they said, well, it's not on U.S. soil, so it's not available to FOIA. We find out that John Podesta is actually the top dog who is overseeing this nursing home debacle here in the States, and he's also one of the top people in Oracle. And I would bet you what we do know about guardian, about nursing home abuses is 1,000 times worse than what we can imagine, and that database is also being held off U.S. soil so that you can't FOIA and get any information about it. This is one of the tricks our own government uses to screw us. But I think we need to push for this in every state. Luann, Robin, what are your thoughts on this?
Well,
I think without transparency, without being able to know what's going on in these places, in other words, yeah, you do have to have something that will open a door, open a window to seeing, to understanding what's happening. Because I think
right.
that is the key to getting people to understand, to feel the emotional impact that one can feel by following the story online. You begin to see how this basically healthy young woman is taken into custody by these people, and then her life is gradually expunged according to their protocol, and no one is there to, you know, if there were no Yolanda to go in and document these things, then there would be no evidence that could communicate
yes.
to someone that is outside of that circle what's going on. And without
yes.
that, we can't feel the feelings that's going to make us as a society go, we're not going to tolerate this. We are not going to let this happen. We must
right.
stop this. And that's what it's going to take.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. And if everything's on the up and up, they shouldn't object to this at all. As y'all know, we have seen videos come out where people put what they call a granny cam in the room that the nursing home staff didn't know was there. And we have seen hideous, hideous videos come out of the abuse of their family member by the staff. And the people in charge, the administrator of these places, will stand and lie to you to your face and call you names. They will do everything. And then they will have you taken off the property. Now, the thing is this. If they are taking money from Medicare, now they are tied to federal funding, which says that you cannot prevent someone from coming in and visiting. You can't set these arbitrary hours. You cannot isolate. You have to allow family members, clergy, whomever, to come in. And yet they do it every day. And many of them will have these rules posted right in their lobby. As I say, right here where I live, we have a huge nursing home with a huge assisted living facility attached to it. I used to go up there as a companion for people who had no family left. And when I would walk in the door, nobody ever said to me anything about, you can't see anybody, you can't do this. All they said to me, are you looking for somebody in particular? Can I help you find them? And would walk me to their room and walk away. And it's still that way up here. It's still that way. There are good nursing homes. My granddaughter worked there. She just was amazed at how well they treated these people. But mm-hmm. the difference was if they were under a guardianship. And once they were under that guardianship, the staff was required to do whatever that doctor said, which was this massive over-medication. I want to tell everybody, if you go into a nursing home and it's like walking into a tomb, you're in the wrong place. Get your person, your family member, whomever, get them and get out of there. Because what a lot of them do, the minute you come in, you're chemically restrained.
Mm-hmm.
You are hit with these drugs that are not to be given to the elderly. They cause brain damage. They can cause all kinds of damage to the physical body. But we need transparency here. I think if people had seen on a day-to-day basis, just like you said, Robin, if people had seen on a day-to-day basis live what was happening to this girl at the hands of these people, I think the whole country would come up. This story has gotten more attention than any I've seen so far. And but we need this transparency. You said they don't exist anymore, so we aren't talking about patient privacy. You're talking about a protection racket running to make sure that the people doing the deed don't get nailed.
Basically, I think that's absolutely right. I think you're talking about people who are able to mask their actions behind laws that were intended, well-intended perhaps, by those who were hooking up the law, saying, well, we need to look after people and their privacy and all this. This is important. And not seeing that had that potential for abuse by these predators, who then say, oh, good, now I don't have to reveal anything. Now I can do whatever I want, and
mm-hmm.
no one's going to watch. No one's going to even see. And it's all behind closed doors. And so now you've got murder taking place, and it's all
yes.
behind closed doors. No one can even see it. No one can even know anything about it. Not a bit. Not the
right.
slow murdering process. Not the drugs that are used. Not the food that is being withheld. You know, nothing. You can't
right.
get the information. And this means that these murderers are operating as though they're some kind of beneficial, you know, so, as though it's a medical facility for helping people. It is a
yes.
big load of nonsense. And,
oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Ted. I'm way past carrot. I've been cut off the air. Yes.
These things. This is not medicine. This is medically supervised and enforced murder. And
yes.
No one has the knowledge about it to even know to protest, much less speak up about it. But the very few that find themselves the victims or the families of victims.
Exactly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're immediately told that you're imagining things. It's an isolated incident. Why, they never heard of anything like that before. Well, you must have done something wrong or they wouldn't have done this. I don't care what mm-hmm. I did wrong. What gave you the right to kill my relatives? My
right.
mom, my dad,
mm-hmm.
my sister, my brother. If I was so bad, I didn't kill them. How come you are? And, you know, I don't get this. Yolanda, we've got about 8 minutes left here. What
mm-hmm.
is next for Anastasia? What do you anticipate next?
I'm hopefully that she lives and that they reinstate her nutrition and her hydration. There will be another prayer vigil this coming Saturday out at the Envoy.
Okay.
I have not determined the times or anything yet because I'm still coordinating that with other local parishes around the area. We have a little bit more lead time on this one so that we can spread the word out even further within the area, within Northern Virginia, and possibly even get a larger crowd out there
mm-hmm.
this time. But
okay.
this is going to be a continuing thing. I foresee this as being a continuing thing that I don't, they need to know that, I've told them this and I've said this numerous times, I will never quit fighting for my sister. And if God forbid they succeed in ending her life, then they won't even be able to contemplate the level that I will come at them with.
Good for you. Good for you.
So,
and we'll be right there behind you, so it's
okay,
not like
well,
you're going
to
do this alone.
Yeah.
I think no matter how this comes out, we need to keep hammering away at this story and get the word out. I know I was told that within the next week or two that there is apparently some plan to close down large sections of the social networking because the government sees it as a threat to national security, meaning them against us. National security has nothing to do with us out here in no man's land. It's all about protecting the elites out there on the East Coast. So, but as I understand, we're going to get picked off one by one. So we need to get a system set up where we can stay in touch. Where we have our own web pages and get people working back and forth between those pages, because I think, from what I understand, we've raised such a ruckus about this guardianship abuse thing. That's why they came out with S-178. You were supposed to think they was going to help you. But it basically, and that was admitted by someone I spoke to at the DOJ, it's about targeting family members and members of the community who might be abusing the elderly and getting more of these people into these professional guardianships where they can be cared for. Uh-huh. And their estate can be stolen, and we can do medical experimentation on them. We can vaccinate them to death, and we can do this and that and something else, and we're all making money, and see ya. And so this is part of what's happening. But as I understand it, we have become so many and so vocal. And Luann and Robin, you've been right in there with your radio show. Brian Kinter with his, Randall Stone, Gloria Hellman. Kathy, she runs the Fourth Branch
Debbie
podcast. Carol. Yeah, Debbie Carroll. There's so many of us out there now that are screaming bloody murder that this is going on. You can't deny it's happening anymore. You cannot deny it's happening. And you can sit there and say, oh, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? Well, if you sit there and don't do anything, nothing. Fools. until it lands on your doorstep. And then you're going to be screaming for all of us to jump up there and help you. And this will land on your doorstep. This system that Anastasia has been subjected to is a, in my opinion, I'm speaking for myself here, this is a system of genocide. And it is ordained by law, condoned by law, and you're sucking up too many resources, and your life has no value to us anymore. We can't get any more money out of you, so you have to go. Now, stop and think about that, everybody. This is exactly what's happening. This is exactly what we can't get any more money. They've paid out all they're going to pay out, and so you have no value left. These are human beings we are talking about. These are human beings. And I don't give a damn. Somebody said to me about, you should be as vociferous about your own race. I am the human race. The human race. All of us. It's all of us. And they have targeted people like Anastasia. They have targeted the elderly, the disabled. They have targeted our children. They are buying, selling, and trading us. And when they can't get any more money out of us, they can't use us as a cash ATM for Medicare and Medicaid. The insurance company won't pay anymore. Bingo, bango, we call for end of life, and we're all out the door. We are talking about human life here. This woman has a right to life. She has a right to live. And she has a right to be at home with her family, where she is taken care of and loved. And if she passes away under those circumstances, I can live with that. I just figure that's God saying it's your time. Mm-hmm. I cannot deal with this. With these total strangers walking in, taking control of this girl, causing and watching her deterioration, and then saying, that's the end. We're going to just stop all this by one of the cruelest methods known to cause death, which is dehydration and starvation. It is one of the cruelest methods known. And this is being done by the medical industry, by this big fancy hospital complex out there, by this wonderful nursing home. Really?
Yeah.
Really? I see it, Marty, as a collection of psychopaths. Go ahead.
Yeah. There is, I've been putting some stuff up on Twitter, and there's something that I want. There's a hashtag that I've now associated with Anastasia and with what's going on. And it's hashtag, is my life worth saving?
Yes, yes.
Which, and basically, we feel that this encompasses everything that is going on with her. The fact that they want to pull the hydration, the feeding, her nutrition. Just because she had the brain injury, and because they've run her health so far into the ground. So hashtag, is my life worth saving? And if you could repeat the information that you did earlier regarding the people that were lining up at Inova to make the phone calls.
Right. I want to say something too, Marty. I need to know what time Mondays and Tuesdays to do that, because I'm putting out a shout-out on all the different things on Facebook, you know, all the different sites.
Okay.
So I want to make sure that I get the right time to do that.
The law firm is 703-519-0999. The nursing home where this murder is taking place is 703-684-9100.
Thank you.
And everybody, light those phones up. Light them up. You're out there. I know you're out there.
Going in tomorrow? What time? All day long tomorrow?
All day long tomorrow, yes. And,
and Tuesday.
And Tuesday, yes. And so everybody, please, again, 703-519-0999 is the law firm. The nursing home is 703-684-9100. We've got 30 seconds here. Yolanda, thank you for so much for coming on and giving us an update. Luann and Robin, thank you for joining in this evening. And all of you out there, say a prayer for Anastasia. I believe that things like that help. Do whatever you can, but hit those phones tomorrow. I'm telling you, I'm going to burn my phone line
morning
up.
Morning and we're afternoon.
Yes, ma'am. We're out of time here. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
Good night.
Good night.